bonkers.
In my life ain't what it seems. I wake up just to go back to sleep. I act real shallow, but I'm in 2D. I know I care about is sex and violence, and every baseline is my kind of silence. Everybody says that I gotta get a grip, but unless I let you give me the slip.
Bonkers.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Listen to the Vinny Eastwood Show. I mentioned, of course, that I don't like lambasting activists or exposing the dirty laundry or things like that. I don't do it, generally speaking, unless they've done something that is unconscionable, unforgivable, and shows a side of their character that is unforgivable. And what has been done to Penny Bright by socialist Aotearoa leader and Joe Carolan and John Minto, Mike Treen, and of course some of the Occupy people fits in that category. And this is the only time when I will actually come out and talk about these issues with people is if I feel that the truth about the situation must be known and can't be accomplished any other way. So, Penny, if you would divulge what happened in that meeting that we alluded to earlier, I'd be much obliged.
Right. Well, what happened was this was Thursday, the 16th of August, and it was the most undemocratic kangaroo court that I've ever been subjected to in my life. What happened was there was this open letter which contained a number of untruths and defamatory statements, which I had never seen beforehand. The vote was taken at the meeting to give this letter to me. I was given 3 minutes to reply to these allegations. So all the basic principles of you know, a fair hearing, your right to know exactly what it is you're charged with and your chance to, you know, defend yourself in a proper way, there was none of that. And all I could think was, oh, my God, I've never been treated in this way by police, by local or central government. Good grief, these are people that want a better society, and this is the way that they act. God, I think I'd rather have what we got now, actually. But anyway, so what happened was, it's just that people didn't quite get the difference between transparency and privacy, because what had happened was I had, like I say, got information that was available in the public domain, and what I had sent out out was these questions to Linda saying that I was available to discuss this matter at any time with anybody who was interested. I always made myself available, you know, to meet with anyone face-to-face, and I wanted to know, one, why Linda had been so obstructive about putting the Boycott Mighty River leaflet, our main organising tool, up on the Aotearoa's Not For Sale website. Why did the Aotearoa's Not For Sale website link back to her private company, Consented Limited, which had a stated aim to minimise risk to business? I wanted to know, what are you doing with all this information you're collecting about activists, Linda, and who are your Consented Limited clients? And I'm speaking as someone who 31 years ago in 1981, I was outed as a subversive by the SIS in the anti-Springbok tour campaign. There was a list of 15 people, 8 subversives and 7 radicals. John Minto was named as a radical. I was named as a subversive. So in terms of the state forces in New Zealand, it seems pretty clear they know which side of the fence I'm on. And I haven't been a member of any political party for 25 years. And, but the SIS still won't give me my file back, which means obviously it's still active and they're still keeping an eye on me. So arguably I'm doing something right, wouldn't you think? Anyway, so for other people to say that, like, I'm an enemy of the people, well, which people? You know, who are you lining up with? So what happened was at this meeting, there were three options that people could vote on. One was to completely exclude me from Aotearoa's Not For Sale. And I was one of the most active activists in that campaign. That's a fact, you know. So they could exclude me completely, or I could have like a 3-month stand-down period, or the third option was I could apologise to Linda. And it's like, excuse me, I will apologise to nobody when I've just asked a number of hard questions which have never been replied to, And John Eisen, the question that he raised was, well, is this information that Penny's provided about Linda, is it factual? And the person who was acting as the convener, it's like she did a double take, like someone slapped her face, and she said, oh, it's not relevant. And John says, I think it is. And of course it's relevant. You know, how is it wrong to tell the truth when there's some serious issues here and they're not being replied to? So what happened was, I mean, I had a, you know, I will stick up for myself and I had a go about how unfair the process was. I said, well, when do I get a chance to reply to the allegations in this letter? And of course, what ends up happening is that, because also while Linda was there, I asked her, who are your clients for Consensus Limited? She just put her head down and this howl comes up from the group, like I'm attacking her privacy. No, I'm not. Yeah, but they just didn't get it, the difference between transparency and privacy. And Joe Carroll, in a disgraceful display, compared me with Paula Bennett. He said, oh, your initials are the same. You did what Paula Bennett did when she released this private information.
He said your initials are the same, ergo you're corrupt to share.
I'd attacked her privacy, and I was basically as bad as Paula Bennett. And then had a go at me because I was getting my money from unearned income because I get money from flatmates. That's how I live. Well, I've never made a secret about that. I'm not on a benefit or anything because I have flatmates who choose to live in my house. No one's making them. And that's the money you get to live off. Hello? Well, my understanding is that Friedrich...
How did you earn the money to pay off that house, Penny?
Yeah, I worked quite hard, actually. And I was lucky because interest rates came down, but, I mean, I don't know...
No. I mean, like, didn't you used to be, like, a welding instructor or something?
Yes, I was, and I've worked hard, and I've saved my money, and... But anyway, the point is that I just said that's a low shot, and I just thought that was disgraceful. But anyway, moving on... So what happened was there ended up being this this vote. 15 hands went up to exclude me, and 11 votes were for me to apologise to Linda. So I picked up my stuff and I walked out. And Joe Carroll says, oh, I think you've still got some property that belongs to us. And I said, yes, badges, and I will return them. And so about an hour later, I came back because. For the 14th of July, March, I know badges are really important, that they're a really good way of getting money. So I'd been one of the people quite active in getting these badges made, and we ended up making about $600 to help pay some bills, etc. And I'd made these banner sash things, and I thought, I can't be bothered bloody undoing all this. So I just put both the banner sashes with all the badges back in a cardboard box, knocked on the door, went back into the meeting, put the badges on the table, and I said, here's your badges. I said, carry on with your kangaroo court. Turned around and walked out. And
I just got to inform you at this point, I get so many comments and emails of people that have watched the videos that I've done of you and the radio shows and stuff like that. And they go, God, I love this woman, you know. And it's that exact reason. Enjoy your kangaroo court. And I walked out.
it was outrageous. But you see, the background to this was that basically Aotearoa Is Not For Sale, which is a board-based coalition group, hadn't been meeting. And it's like we'd had this marvellous march on the 14th of July. We'd voted on the street and there were people keen as mustard to get on with switching off Mercury Energy, which is the main thing that I was focused on, and we're not meeting. And I think part of the thing with United Front politics is that how it works is you have in a United Front, you have different component groups, but one group or some people in one group can't make decisions for a broader base group. That's not democratic. And I think that's been the root cause of the problem, that there have been very blurred lines of demarcation and there's been some very undemocratic decision-making. But basically... Like, oh, you know, Socialist Aotearoa, they used to meet on a regular basis on a Thursday night at the Unite office, and then that night was used by Aotearoa Is Not For Sale. And then a decision was made, oh, well, we'll just get back to Thursday night meetings for Socialist Aotearoa. And it's sort of like, I had a bit of a spat with Joe. Well, hello, where's the democracy there? When did Aotearoa Is Not For Sale decide not to meet on a Thursday night? Anyway, we had to sort it out because, I mean, my way is to deal with people one-to-one, and that's what I tried to do with Linda. And it's only when I got no response and I kept being blocked, that's when I took things further. So what I tried to do over about 3 weeks was to get back to a new meeting night on a regular basis. And that's, I've managed to get the Greyland Community Centre. But, I mean, I've done things in a proper and democratic way. We've got minutes in a proper way. And so what happened was on the 15th of August, we set up a new group called Switch Off Mercury Energy, and we're trying to get 100,000 people to switch off Mercury Energy. We have elected people as media spokespeople, elected people running the website, elected people running the Facebook page. We're doing things in a proper way, totally unlike this other Mickey Mouse outfit. And so basically, I mean, we've picked up the ball and carrying on with the campaign. But yeah, so anyway, what? That's the guts of it. But what happened was, to cut to the chase, what happened was I ended up contacting a top international security consultant because I wanted another opinion, which was basically, had I been responsible for vicious personal attacks, or just had I asked reasonable, hard questions? And was it a legitimate question to ask why a website for Aotearoa is not for sale tracked back to Linda Ann Wright's private company Consensus Limited, which had as a stated aim minimising risk to business? And given this woman's come from nowhere with no previous track record as any form of political, social justice or human rights activist, but as an IT specialist consultant, business consultant, both parents are ex-US Marines and the only men in life have ever been US Marines. And the response I got, I can't give this person's name directly, but I can quote as an international security consultant. And the response was, I do not know anything about Linda, but would not be too concerned about her connections to US Marines. Her business interests are noteworthy as you describe them below, and your questions to her are pretty direct. I gather she has not answered them, so that is a reason for concern if indeed she is using the site to collect information on people. It might pay to have an open meeting of the members in order to discuss her possible conflict of interest, i.e. minimising risk to business while opposing asset sales, while purporting to be a socialist. The way you can air your concerns and she can respond or not. That way you can air your concerns and she can respond or not. I never did figure out who the editorial team are. As a worst-case scenario, she could be working for the cops to gather intel on the group's activities, intentions, etc., which is why an open debate might flush things out a bit. I'm sorry that I'm not further up with the plan with regards to this woman.
You'd simply need to tell the truth in order to find out what the real truth is, I've found. And if people aren't willing to listen, if they're not willing to answer the questions, then you know that the truth is not their objective. And then you've got to ask, what is?
Well, I mean, the thing is that, I mean, I have asked hard questions. I haven't had replies. And I mean, I've been treated as an absolute pariah. But, I mean, you know me. I will stick up for myself. But, I mean, I have had to take matters to the point of going to a meeting that was open to the public, and I've, you know, had someone say, like, oh, sorry, Penny, I'm going to have to ask you to leave this meeting. I'm saying, I'm not going. We'll call the cops and then we'll see who the revolutionaries are, and put my foot down. And having been dragged out of I don't know how many bloody council meetings, people know that I meant it. And this idea, we'll escort you out of the meeting. Anyone lays a hand on me, that'll be assault. And they know that you mean business, especially if the meeting's been open to the public. But I wasn't just going to sit there and have my good name, and I do have a good name, trashed. That's not on. That's not fair. I mean, when people's rights are under attack, stand up, fight back. How is it that doesn't apply to me? Bullshit. Anyway.
There's the FCC regulations worry about that, Penny. But I have this feeling that counterintelligence programs that were developed during the 60s in order to spy on people, discredit people, and defuse movements, and if necessary, eliminate effective people, that system is here too, and it has not gone away.
Well, I mean, it's a no-brainer to me, and that happened in the Occupy movement as well. We had other people came from nowhere, and their main role was to spread disinformation and cause dissension from within, and I've seen it before. People hate the infighting. They hate it. And what it does, the enemy from within is your worst enemy because they white-ant your group and they make it dysfunctional. That's what happened with Occupy Auckland as well. You pick on the act, the most effective activist. You try to discredit and undermine them by telling lies and spreading misinformation. That's what happened in Occupy Auckland. And that's what, I mean, you know, they've been having a go at me in the same way. Well, I mean, I'm sorry, I'm just not putting up with that because, you know, how can it be wrong to tell the truth? And as someone who's been outed by the SIS, who's someone who's recognised, arguably, by the forces of the New Zealand state to, you know, to effectively be an enemy, well, excuse me, I'm concerned about young activists, what's happening with this information, but what I'm really concerned about is we've just had the visit of the, you know, the most significant visit of this US Secretary for Defence. And where the hell has the opposition been? Where have they been? And that really concerns me. Could it have anything to do with the fact that you've got now this what someone who I, in my considered opinion, is dodgy, being in quite a key position in terms of websites and helping to get the message out? Has that, I don't know, that play a role?
Okay. And it's a valid point. And people need to realise, you'd hear this information if you're very loyal to this person or loyal to Occupy, or realise no one person represents Occupy. No one person represents the truth or anything like that. You have a look at their background, you have a look at their character, and you judge them by that and their actions. Nothing more, no insinuation, just the facts. We'll be right back.